May only His word be spoken, only His word heard.
Amen.
Jesus teaches about weeds, and we're taking our message from the gospel lesson today, obviously. You know, when I read this parable, preparation for this message, my thoughts went immediately to the evils of wire grass. I don't hate many things in this world, but I hate wire grass. At least that's my name for it. Grows everywhere, of course. But this year, it invaded a small area in the front of my house where my beloved coneflowers were and come back every year because they're perennials. I love coneflowers. I love them. Their purple petals bring me joy. They seem to smile at me like that, like I'm doing now. Meanwhile, the wire grass, on the other hand, seems to curse me. Like that, you know. So in my zeal to get rid of the wire grass, well, you guessed it, I dealt a fatal blow to my innocent, beloved coneflowers. It's just the point of the parable today, isn't it? Don't you admire the genius of Jesus? I mean, He takes a story we all can relate to and gives us eternal truths. And the more you ponder this parable, the more depth and profound meaning it delivers. The parable of the weeds. It should be appreciated by anyone who does the least bit of gardening. Do anybody do any gardening? We have gardeners. I've received some of your produce. Yes. Well, those of you who are gardeners, then surely you're familiar with Murphy's first law of gardening. When weeding, the best way to discern whether it's a weed or a good, valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. Right? Of course, there's a corollary to this wonderful law. To distinguish between flowers and weeds, simply pull up everything. What grows back will be weeds. Yeah. Right. Well, people who study horticulture in Jesus' time believe He is referring to a weed called the bearded darnel. It is in its early stages of growth. The bearded darnel so closely resembles wheat that it's almost impossible to distinguish one from the other. What's more, the wheat and weed can also grow intertwined with each other. So if you pull up one, you're pulling up the other. So one clear point of this parable is that only God knows who is the weed, unbelievers, and who's the wheat? Believers. Unfortunately, and I don't have to tell you this, there are many people who proclaim that they are Christians, but in reality, their hearts are far from the Lord. They fool people all the time, but God's watching, and He looks into the heart, and He is never, ever fooled. Another strong, and frankly, it's a scary point, is that a judgment is coming. The weeds will be pulled up, and they will be burned in a fire. As Jesus interprets it, people will be cast into a fiery furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can hear it now. People protesting. And this is the God of love. It's not fair. This is horrible. I reject this. Maybe you've heard this, I have, people saying those very things. This is the reason they don't believe in God. My God would never do that. Have you heard that before? My God would never do that. But isn't this exactly what Jesus says is going to happen as he interprets this parable? Isn't that what he says? What else are you going to throw out that Jesus says? Anything else you don't like? You know, throw it out. Throw it out. Right? Jesus said this interpreting the parable. And who are you to question God about his fairness? When, after all, he sent Jesus to die on a cross for everyone, everybody. And we certainly didn't deserve that. When you reject Jesus, you reap condemnation. That is about the point of every parable that Jesus tells. You reject me, and you're sending yourself the other way. And he doesn't want that. In light of what we just heard Jesus say, tell us, I have to ask a very important question of ourselves. Am I a weed? Am I a weed? By the way, when I'm talking about weed, I'm talking about not marijuana. Am I a weed? There's an exceeding irony in all of these gardening and farming parables. Any good soil holds out just as great a promise for weeds as it does for wheat, right? I mean, you prepare a plot and it's weeds love it too. How do I know whether I'm a weed or not? How do I know? Well, let me ask you this. How do you react to what Jesus says, okay? Listen to it. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Okay, what's your reaction to that verse? Isn't it thrilling? It's good, isn't it? Huh? It's real good. I like that. It's real good. Yeah. You're not a weed. Not just Rosalind, anybody who... Well, we know that about her, but... Yeah. You're not a weed. If that verse thrills you, if you believe what Jesus says and who he is, colors your life, you're not a weed. That doesn't mean you don't sin. Of course you do. Here's another question that people like to ask. Are people destined to be a weed? Is it predetermined? I mean, you could take that from this parable a little bit, you know. There's an esteemed Bible teacher and church consultant that used to say that 16% of any church membership will not change. Their hearts and heads are calloused. They are weeds. So let's say we have about 100. Okay, we can even go to 200 here. I don't think we quite have that many, but let's say we have 200 here. That means 32 of you are weeds. Look around, see if you see one. Right? I don't like what he says. I don't see anyone as a weed, and I don't think we should see anybody as a weed, because we just don't know. But people go on and say, are people born that way? Are people bad seeds? And then there's good seeds. This is when you have to take the full word of God to play and understand such things. Believers desire wisdom and knowledge of God, and they'll find it in his word. So, let me pose the question again. Are people born with bad seed? People born with good seed? Are people bad? People good? Well, the clear answer is we're all born with, say it again? Yeah, original sin. We're all born with original sin. Spiritually, we have to be reborn. We do, everybody. Our default setting from the very beginning at birth is to go away from God. And boy, there's a lot of ways to go away from God. Most people think it's because you do reprehensible sins, right? Well, that's one way to go away from God. But I know people who are morally upright. They're good people. You want to have them as neighbors. They take out the trash. They mow their lawn. They're good people. They help one another. They care about other people. They're taking care of their animals. But they reject Jesus. They reject him. Here's the thing. Praise be to God. He comes to us first. He seeks us. He gives his grace and love to us first. He gives us promises like baptism and the Lord's Supper. He changes us. And we respond. But what if you've been away a long time? A long, long way from God. Time-wise or in your actions and your thoughts. What if you've been away a long time? You might even say, I know I'm a weed because I don't believe any of this stuff. If you want to call me a weed, that's fine with me. Well, listen to another word of God, okay? And wait for the punchline, because there is one in this passage. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And now you ready for the punchline? And that is what some of you were. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus changes weeds into wheat. Some of you know that for sure. You come to him repenting, because he's already come to you. You come to him repenting, confessing, pleading the blood of Jesus for mercy, and you will surely have it. Come to him believing, and he will begin his transformation of you. Not that you will ever become perfect, mind you. You will still have to come repenting. That's a daily activity we should do. But you'll be his. You'll be wheat, for sure. Now, as a church and as fellow Christians, we cannot look into people's hearts. I was just kidding when I said, look around you, you know, for the weeds, because you cannot tell. Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save them, right? And so it is with his followers. We can't save people, but we can proclaim the word. Most people know the statement, judge not lest ye be judged. You might have even had it thrown in your face, because Christians often get this, you know, judge not lest you be judged, to support all kinds of activities that people do. But the Bible clearly tells us that those who claim to be Christians, who are part of the church, and act overtly, publicly, against God's will, we are to judge them. Enough to want to confront them, because we care for them. And we want to see them repent. Right? We, however, are not to judge anybody's private motives, believers or non-believers alike, because you don't know what their motive is. By the way, this is good for your marriages too, right? Don't put the best construction on everything, right, in your marriage, right? Don't judge the private motives of your spouse, as horrible as they may be. Outside the church, people outside of the church, non-Christians. This is what the Bible says. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will take care of those outside. God will take care of them. We're not out to condemn people. We're out to have them see the wonderful gospel and how it can change their life. True disciples of Jesus do not delight in separating people. But like our Lord and Savior, we desire that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Believe. Believe. I'll tell you what, the greatest joy that you can ever have is to see someone whose eyes were blind but now see, whose ears were stopped up but now hear. And maybe you had a little bit to do with it. You know, the Spirit does it all, but I mean, you brought the word. It's like having a baby. Someone is born, you know? And there's great joy in having a baby, as a lot of you know. This parable confronts us as Christians, we who believe in Jesus, with a great challenge. We must be in earnest and very urgent about proclaiming the gospel to all people. We don't know when the miracle is going to happen. A weed becomes wheat. We do know what can cause it to happen. The Word of God, proclaimed, given. It's powerful. I want to tell you to have compassion on people because, you know, we don't know what season people are in. You know, the uninterested, the distracted, the unresponsible. Maybe they're nearer to the kingdom than we had ever imagined. We don't know what's going on in their life. How needy, how desperate, how frightened. We don't know what they've experienced in life that puts up obstacles them hearing the gospel. What happened to them that caused them to be so alienated from our Lord? Maybe they were maltreated as a child. Maybe Christians judged them and hurt them. Maybe we as parents, you know, made it a legalistic religion instead of God drawing them in. What I've seen is that many converts to Christian faith, people who've come over into the light, were people who had times of personal crisis. Bereavement, serious illness, divorce, personal defeat. Or maybe those who are sensitive, who have thought about their life. They didn't have any convulsion or anything like that, but they thought about their life, and they were just ready to hear the Word of God and apply it to themselves. Sadly, people who have resisted Jesus for most of their lives rarely change. They've become increasingly hardened, calloused. But God can change them too. His word can break through anything, the hardest crust. I had a conversation this past week with a person who is one of those morally good people. But he rejects Jesus. So